What is going down, everyone? It's time for MojoBreak.com, the hype. We've got a juicy episode today. We've got some news from the Panini camp, taking over some licenses. We're going to talk about that. We got Prizm WWE, and it's like gold, literally. It's out there. It's gold. It's going for lots of money. We're going to discuss that. We've got Goodwin Champions. We're going to have a box battle on, which is a lot of fun as well. And we're also going to talk about baseball. Is it back in the hobby? Is it moving up the ranks between basketball, football, all those other major sports? So we're going to discuss that as well. Make sure you guys hit subscribe here on Mojo Break Media and subscribe if you're listening to the audio podcast as well. And for those asking why the full videos are not on Mojo Break Media, the full audio versions are on Spotify, iTunes, and everything like that. Because everybody is, you know, at the gym doing some work. They're digesting in audio format, and we're clipping them for you guys for the video followers. Speaking of videos, we just did Jackass. We previewed Jackass. We threw things that are nuts. You guys got to check it out here on Mojo Break Media as well and get a preview of the Zero Cool Cards. Dan, how's your nuts?
Well, you have terrible aim. So how's my shin?
Yeah.
And I don't know how bad is your aim when, like, you're 8 feet away from me and you hit me in my shin?
Well, like, I in mid-roll, I went Frisbee style, which is not my forte. I should have went overhand.
Well, if you're going to throw a box, you have to go Frisbee style.
Yeah, I never was a great Frisbee player.
Me either.
Frisbee golf, not
I mean, you just got to flick it, man. Like, you're lucky you hit me. Lucky you made contact.
I know. C-Rad's lucky he wasn't there that day because he probably would have done it too.
It would have been the only one besides me and you, I think, because the great Shane said no.
He's worried about kids.
He needed that bonus.
Yeah.
Gregatron is what I'm running now.
Gregatron.
It's Gregatron is his new name.
Not YG.
It's going to be YG. It's going to be Young Greg, but now it's Gregatron. I like it. It has a great ring.
I think it's solid.
Yeah.
Solid. I agree.
Not Greg the Leg?
Well, it's a mix, right? Like, I didn't want to go Greg the Leg.
Oh, bro.
But I went Gregatron. Not Legatron, but Gregatron. You know.
And maybe after he becomes 21, he could be Greg the Keg. No.
He is 21.
Oh, okay. Well,
I think he might be 22 17. Or 23 now.
17. 17.
I forget. I feel like he's like super young.
We got young Brent just turned 21.
Mm. Is that a rite of passage now? I think I feel like that was started by young Jamie. Now it's young Greg, young Brent. At what age do you stop becoming a young? Like, you can't
when,
say, I can't
when
say
we,
young
when
man.
We hire somebody who is
younger.
Oh, then
okay. Yeah, it's like this is definitely appealing to the millennials. It's like Rocket Power, that cartoon on Nickelodeon. Anytime there was a new kid, you became Squid. So there was a kid named Squid. He was just Squid forever because there was never another new kid, unfortunately, for Squid.
Yeah.
So we don't have to call Brent Squid is what I'm saying, but I'm just saying, you know, it's throwing it out there. It's an option if you guys want.
My work.
Yeah.
My work.
Well, what are we going to, I mean, everybody, what do we call Brent? What is Brent's?
I guess it's Squid.
Squid.
Oh, no. No, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I don't want to curse him with that.
All right, guys, we got our box break, and it's the brand new 2021 Goodwin Champions from Upper Deck. And this is literally the only place that you can pack pull a Michael Jordan autograph. It's a fun set, and Michael Jordan hasn't been in any products for at least the Hanes underwear packs that they had, and it was like one, and I think Dan said like 50 million packs you could get his autograph. So there appears to be a decent amount of Jordan stuff in here. You can also get Trey Lance, Mac Jones. They're going to be in their, you know, regular t-shirts, of course, because there is no licensing for those sports with Upper Deck. You've got some Gretzky stuff. You got poker chips that you can get. It's kind of, if you're familiar with Allen and Ginter, it's kind of Upper Deck's Allen and Ginter, but with more of an Upper Deck twist and more different stuff. There's Riff Raff autos. There's John Taffer autos. So there's a lot of crazy stuff in here. There's Jalen Green. There's some up-and-coming basketball stars as well. You're looking at 5 cards per pack, 20 packs per box, and I think you get at least around maybe 2 hits a box, at least 2 hits per box from autographs, memorabilia, manufactured patches, or 3D lenticulars. So we're breaking these random letter on MojoBreak.com. So if you get the letter M, that's your shot at Michael Jordan. So random letter, first letter. So we're going to do a box battle with one box here. And we're going to split the packs up and see what we get. Maybe we hit a Jordan. And we'll be giving these away. Let us know your favorite Michael Jordan card of all time.
Going for it.
Your favorite, and I know there's probably the easy low-hanging fruit is the 86-87 Fleer, but maybe there's hopefully be some picks that aren't the 86-87 Fleer. And, you know, we'll see. We'll give some of these hits away. So
Give me MJ Space Jam, anything Space Jam related.
That's there awesome. I actually like the Nike promo one. It's a little bit oversized. Came in the Air Jordan 1s, and those are pretty cool for me.
All right.
All right. Let me get started on this.
I think we're going to go we'll go right to left.
And you got images you got images on the back of exquisite cards. Teofimo Lopez, Tiger Woods, you got the rare patch cards, feathered creatures patches.
They got the musician cards again. I want to see who they like. So there was one year they did like 311, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did they do Incubus one year?
They did.
It was like Brandon Boyd.
What'd you get there? Is that a lenticular?
So these are what? I was calling them Pokemon cards this morning, but they're like monster animals that are actually, it's a deck of cards that you can make a whole set.
Really?
A whole set of deck cards, yeah. So that's the three of hearts there.
That's dope.
So that's gonna be a set that's probably pretty popular.
I wonder if that's gonna count as a hit.
No, that doesn't count as a hit.
That's a base card.
Not in our breaks anyways. They don't count as a hit.
And maybe Dan can start opening those packs up and getting ready for the next round.
Yeah, I'll just.
We'll see who wins this box battle.
Oh,
yeah.
Poor Emily.
Poor E-Money over there, right?
Still the hardest packs to rip Ruby. Open in the hobby.
Ten of clubs.
Ace of spades.
What do you think of these cards?
I like the design. They took 2 years off, so it better have been a good design. So,
I believe there's actually blaster versions of these this year.
I mean, they took 2 years off. This didn't come out last year?
2020 came out in 2020.
Yeah, so a little bit behind. Oh, I have a hit here. I took one of the hits.
May of 2020.
Is that how that works?
So a product that was in 2020 came out in 2020?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
I never heard of that. So are we going to get 2022 Goodwin in like a month or something? Or?
I think so 2021 came out in 2020.
No, this is 2021 that we're doing around.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. It's not 2022.
Who's on first?
So 2019 came out in 2020?
No, 2019 came out in 2019. 2020 came out in 2020. And then they took 2 years off. And now we finally got 2021.
We are in 2022.
That's true.
Are we?
So
did we just
heard.
Figure that out?
Sources are telling me.
Yeah, I think who's on first is a correct.
So my packs were a bust, unless you count my playing cards.
Your,
which I don't.
Your upper pokey.
I'm gonna move this over.
What are we calling those things?
They've kind of got a V Friends look to them, don't they? Kind of a Pokemon V Friends sort of vibe to them. I feel like
could be. Can you play with them?
I think people are gonna make the whole set and they're gonna use these as playing cards.
All right, that is Delphi.
Oh, so there's a fair amount of those.
Ooh, Benjamin Simmons, and I feel like they've used that that photo already. Adley Rushman, King James, and ooh, did we got some Chrome?
Chrome this year. That's
Gaudy Chrome.
Lexi Thompson, Chrome
golfer.
Golfer, look, mate.
Those actually look pretty cool.
Golfer.
Those playing cards.
Yeah, they Ken are. Griffey Jr.
I think people are gonna really try to make the whole.
Set,
which is gonna be tough.
Who's Jess Lockwood?
No idea.
Beats me.
I like the hat, pro hat.
Maybe a bull. PB,
follow us.
Pro bull rider.
Ooh, look. We are changing the game.
Dummy cards.
Dummy card.
Let me see.
Game changer. Look at that.
Wow.
Smart.
Jess Lockwood. Yes, a professional bull rider.
Yeah. See, that was off the top
of
the dome.
Well, it says rodeo.
Mm. Oh, well, then there you go.
You didn't give us that information. How would I have known that?
Thought it was pretty self-explanatory.
I was thinking it could be a George Strait cover band singer.
That guy is new boot goofing.
Beezy.
Whoa, what'd you call me?
Wow. This is a family program, up, dude. Okay.
Is that slang?
Oh, red.
There you go.
Sarah Palin?
Palin?
No, but the red is not numbered.
Looks special.
It does. Man, these chrome.
Volleyball?
Volleyball. Actually, not just any volleyball. Volleyball.
I've done 70, 20, 20 four box breaks, and I can tell you there's no chrome in there.
Yeah. So we went from BZ to a volleyball. That's awesome.
Digging that.
What's that one called?
You're automatically going to win. You're going to have the two hits. In
Omni-boo.
Maybe. Planned it that way. I'm in your guys' head.
Was that a Woj card, by the way?
Yes.
Woj. Yeah.
Dan just casually passing by the base.
I mean, I want someone to hit his auto for the ultimate Woj bomb.
Dan, you gave him all the hits.
Actually, I think one of the best cards I got was the right
Beezy?
There. Collect the best. Follow us.
I have a purple chrome in
you
here,
didn't fill
like.
Up on those packs enough, Dan. You gave him all the hits. All
right, he's going to switch the camera over to me. I don't have a mat, though, so but it's all good. We don't need no gloves. We don't need no mat either. All right.
These are pretty sick, though.
Yeah, make a whole set.
We got a Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey's cards have been doing pretty well.
He's had a nice little rookie year in 15 years. Okay,
yeah. And that looks like maybe when he was in high school, maybe college. Oh, Sabrina Ionescu, who actually has exquisite cards in here, autos, which is cool. And we're just going back to back. Sabrina Ionescu, another a Gaudi. Oh, Kamala Harris.
You're going to do what? Stats on the back there?
Is this a Kamala Harris rookie card? Please, no political comments in the chat.
Take 40.
I think Oaktown in the house, though.
I think there's another one, but I could be wrong.
Take 47 minutes to get
Jalen Green. Well, I'm trying to give the product some service and not just throw the base cards on the ground like you did. So
I went over the dummy card.
So we got the World Traveler Map Relics.
That's a hit.
Bulgaria. Sofia, Bulgaria. There you go.
And what is that? Like, where's the relic from?
A map.
Like a map
yes.
or like the map? The only map?
There's only one map. Vanessa Hansen, model.
Game worn.
Zach Wilson relic. There we go. Zach Wilson in his hoodie. Oh, we got a look. MJ, baby. Michael Jordan from a Hanes commercial, probably. And Roberto Campos, baseball. And now I'll start speeding up. We got Wayne Gretzky. There's a Roberto. Oh, lenticular. Got three hits. Roberto Campos. Who does he play for?
Oh, gosh. I should know this.
He's Brazil?
He was a 12-year-old in 2016, so he's 17 now.
Tigers. He's in the Detroit Tigers organization.
Brazil.
Not
Brazil.
Not the Brazilian World Baseball Classic national team.
LeBron James, the GOAT.
I thought it was a soccer
Nate
player.
Robinson. Oh, Joe Biden.
So you got all the political
Jalen
ones.
Jalen Green and a Chrome Colin Morikawa. That might not be a bad one. Not numbered, but...
Yeah, it looks like a fun set this year. I'm gonna enjoy opening it up this year.
I got a blue coming up too. Kuminga. Got a Michaela Scherfin, Carlos Allison, Rob Pinnell, and a Darius Garland Gaudi. And what is this? Byron Laura to 299. It's got the like the mojo feel. So they kind of combined a Opeachy Platinum and a Lore with this chrome technology here. I wonder if it says what it is on the back. It doesn't. And a blue Corey Kispert. Not numbered. Is he in the league now? Corey Kispert's in the league, right?
In what
yes,
league?
Wizards.
Wizards, okay.
Oh. I was like, what? I'm not gonna scream out just another.
He's on the Brazilian
word.
Cricket team, actually.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Fine.
Damn, Dan's all Brazil today. All Brazil. All Brazil all day. It's time to talk WWE Prism, guys. Just released. It's not the first wrestling release ever. Topps has had it for a while, and then Panini has it now, and it's
Panini.
The first. It's the first release, but before they came out with it. Top said, Infinite said, no, we want it back. And then WrestleMania and Stone Cold Stunners and Pat McAfee and Johnny Knoxville. And it was a big spectacle. So I think it was great timing for this WWE stuff to come out. And everybody is going wild. And I cannot understand it, guys. I don't know if I'm going to be a get off my lawn kind of guy. It's just like anything we make Prism now is just going to be good, I guess. Is that what we're going with?
Well,
that Prism cornhole is next.
Unless
it's racing, you're right.
Like that is the one. Is that the only? Maybe baseball doesn't do well either.
Yeah,
Prism baseball, Prism racing, but
no
Prism
license.
Everything else.
But if baseball had the if Panini
if it
had
the
baseball
logos,
license,
I get it.
Whole different ballgame.
And we got logos on the racing. What's going on? What do we got to do? What do we got to? I talk about it all the time. What do we got to do to boost up? Like put a little jet fuel behind that category.
You
got
to shill bid your own cards, dude. It's the only way to do it.
I don't know about that.
It's the only way to do it.
It's a great product. It's a great sport.
It's just like being a Rams fan. There's only a few of you. There's only a few racing card fans. So NASCAR, that is.
I think the reason why WWE probably reaches a wider audience is because it really the kids, you know, fall in love with it from a young age. I don't know if kids are falling in love with NASCAR from a super young
age. You look at the audience of a general WWE event, and I don't see a lot of kids.
You don't see a lot of kids because the cameras are at the bottom. The kids can't afford to sit at the bottom. So, like, but there are a lot of kids
I have to disagree with you. It's not real, like, family friendly entertainment.
See,
a lot. Kids drive wrestling.
I don't agree. I think it's a very specific demographic and age group that truly drive.
Well, you were asking what is the difference between NASCAR and wrestling.
I think more kids like NASCAR.
I can't agree with you there.
Go to a NASCAR event and see how many kids love looking at cars and watching them go fast.
I guess my rebuttal will be: when's the last time you're?
I like how obviously I said something like really, really angered people. I've never heard you guys in sequence go no.
I say this as a kid who grew up loving WWF now WWE,
the World Wildlife Federation.
That's right. Big fan. Save the pen.
Hey, before you finish, since you said brought a World Wildlife. Don't judge me, but I freaking had a dream because we were opening up. You guys opened up the Jackass preview. I had a dream. I swear to God, it was last night that we were opening up a preview box of World Wildlife Fun.
Was it? Wait a second. Yeah, before you guys are.
It was National Treasures.
I'm like, was it Prism? Because it's heavily allocated, going through the roof.
I think it's because you guys were like there's been a lot of, like, you know, in our Slack, there's been a lot of back and forth. So I was like, maybe I was just thinking. I don't know why I was dreaming that, bro. I don't know.
No, you're onto something, because it's going to be the first giraffe card, the first panda card.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they're all rookies. The whole thing is rookies. Because that's the same philosophy we're using here.
Was that in Anchorman where they had the panda watch?
Yes.
Panda watch. No, but seriously, I don't understand it. I was a big, and before you guys say anything about me not watching wrestling, because I don't watch wrestling currently, but I did grow up during the WCW, the Attitude Era, the WCW, and the with NWO, and rest in peace Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash, and Hollywood Hogan, and Sting over there, and then I was also watching WWE, because I was an ICP fan at the time, and they were on WWE, and, you know, Stone Cold, Triple H, Generation X. Everybody was doing the X, and yeah, X Pac.
Suck it.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
yeah,
you
yeah,
can
yeah.
say it.
Yeah, suck it. You know,
suck it.
And great music, great entrances. You know, you had the Hell in the Cell with Mick Foley, Mankind, and Undertaker, where he threw him 40 feet into the table, which was unbelievable as a teenager, I should say. So I was a big fan.
Whoa, yeah, I don't know about as a kid. Again, that's not helping my argument.
Teenager. I loved playing the video games, but I did not look for the cards, and it's scripted. So they know who's going to be the champion. So I don't, like UFC, we don't know who's going to be the champion. They know who's going to be the champion, probably. So it's like, do these cards go up? Do the cards go down? I mean, what's going to happen to the next round of WWE 2023? Now there's no more first cards anymore. So, I have a lot of questions here. I'm glad that it's doing well, but I don't understand it.
Yeah, this product does not resonate. This whole category doesn't resonate with me. I never, when I was a kid, I liked Hulk Hogan.
Did you like NASCAR?
Does Hulk Hogan like NASCAR?
He looks like he does.
He probably does. I mean, but no, getting back to, it wasn't like a sport that I was interested in. I was more interested in baseball and football and basketball and hockey. Just wasn't into it. I did, in high school, it seemed like it got really, really popular, and I'm dating myself here, and to, you know, reiterate what Doug was saying, like the Attitude Era, and like I remember going to like catchphrases from wrestling, like people would go around and just do like the suck it, like all the time. Like that was like,
you didn't know?
Yeah, that was like, super popular, but again, still, just because it was pop culture, I wasn't into it. Another thing, I remember the ice cream sandwiches you could get, like, from
the ice cream man.
Me and my friends talk about it all the time.
Like, it was cookie on one side, and it had a picture, and I know where you're going with this. I think we had this conversation, and it was like chocolate on the back.
Oh man!
Even that was like the worst ice cream ever.
Oh man!
Like terrible, so terrible. Like the worst thing you can get from an ice cream man, besides the snow cone that had the frozen gumball on the bottom. That was terrible.
That was like a pebble.
Yeah, that was terrible. Second to that, the WWF like ice cream sandwiches.
So good.
So on to C-Rad. What's up?
Yeah, man. I mean, like, again, I'm gonna double down. I think, like, because it's so popular, it starts with the kids, and then these kids become adults, and that's why they're
like. But the kids cannot afford Prism at the prices they're at.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. But one, the ice cream sandwich, the WWE ice cream bar, is iconic. It's a god level ice cream.
Because it was cool, or because it tasted good?
It tasted great.
It tasted terrible.
It tasted amazing.
It was terrible.
Amazing.
I'm gonna go find one.
I'm gonna try to find one.
They don't make it anymore.
Have you had one?
It's discontinued.
No, I don't think so. Not that I recall.
Did you have one? It would melt instantly. It was just a mess.
I recall it being at the ice cream man, but I never actually went for it. I would usually get the other one that was like two cookie, like Toll House cookies.
If it was melting on you, your ice cream man sucked. That's the problem.
Or a Choco Taco.
Well, Choco Taco, yeah. Pretty good. Or the
we can all agree.
The strawberry shortcake bar.
It was all right.
Oh, dude.
It was all right. There was one thing you had to get from the ice cream man, the bubblegum cigarettes and the Poppets. that's the only reason you hunt them down was to act like you're smoking a cigarette and throw Poppets on the ground at people. I mean, that was what we did.
Poppets were cool. Poppets were cool.
Those were awesome.
They were cool.
Or caps for your cap gun where you go pow, pow.
The candy cigarettes, if I'm not mistaken, were gum, right?
Yeah.
And also a terrible, terrible gum.
Yes.
Like, you would get, like, one little blow out of it, the sugar would come off of it, and then it would just, the gum would, like, lose its flavor instantly.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it would have even more sugar.
That gum and Fruit Stripe gum, historically bad.
Terrible.
Yeah. 25 cents, though.
Fruit Stripe. Oh, God.
Fruit Stripe is a bad. That's a bad gum. It can't be around still, right?
No. No, I think it is. Probably not in your major stores. If you go to those off-brand candy stores, like in the mall, and they have a million different candies, it's in there.
It's probably Fruit Stripe back from, like, 1991.
Could be.
It's probably new old stock.
Probably as bad as the gum in a 1955 Tops pack. But, yeah, I don't get it. I mean, you see some of these prices here on this slide. We've got a Color Blast John Cena that is over 10 grand. $10,000.
We got 3 days left.
$10,000. You probably could get John Cena at your house for that price.
I overheard or overread on Twitter that person who listed that card was like, it's not going to sell for less than 50 grand. What do you think? I mean, that is a case hit, right? Probably one per case.
Probably not.
If it's like other Prism product that has Color Blast, it's probably like one per eight cases. Yeah. Something like that.
Okay.
Still
one per, but still maybe 10 subjects, 15 subjects on the checklist.
I believe it's only 10.
10.
Mm-hmm.
But why do we, like, what I don't understand is, like, the same thing with UFC is, like, Topps had UFC forever. And we could not sell it. It would never go above cost. It would dip below cost. We'd have to almost give it away to do it. And this was Chrome. This was museum collection. And then it's like UFC Prism. Oh, God, it's $1,000 a box now.
It's a Luka effect.
I think
but then you, same thing with WWE. We still have WWE products from Topps that no one wants. Like, as recently as a couple months ago before they made their last product. We still have a lot. We have, like, the women's division one. We have some of the finest stuff that they've made. But then we got Prism now. Like, I get it. That's a legacy brand. I understand how big Prism is, but it's just like we're like just shining a turd in a sense.
Yeah. So, I mean, is it all speculation right now that, like, this is the first year of WWE Prism? So this is the first Color Blast. John Cena has a Color Blast. Next year, it goes for a quarter or a half of what the first one sells for.
And I think the fact that we just found out that basically we're probably getting, what, two or three WWE Prism sets ever because of the Fanatics
deal.
Yeah. And I think, yes, the color blast thing. And just the timing is impeccable. Literally, we're coming off of a huge WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
People were talking about it. Stone Cold makes his return. There's a ton of buzz coming off of that weekend. I mean, 150,000 people combined over 2 days were in that stadium watching professional wrestling.
Wait, like, was it a 2 day?
Yeah.
It's been a 2 day event. Wait, for what, 3 years or so?
Yeah, Saturday.
They've split it to 2 days like the last 4 years.
There's so much stuff to go over in two days.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely wild. And then right before their first product releases, Fanatics takes back the license.
Isn't it?
In 3 years.
Isn't it a glorified soap opera?
Sure.
I mean, it has been. And I don't think that's. I think everybody knows that. I mean, I don't think it's like, oh,
I mean, we were talking about this yesterday or maybe a couple days ago. Like, the script is predetermined for the most part. So somebody knows who is going to pop off out of this set and become super popular. So can't you have, like, kind of insider trading? Like, knowing,
I mean, I think that we were talking about that yesterday. I talked to a few people afterwards about that, and they did say their scriptwriters are pretty locked down. Like,
pretty
like,
locked down.
I will also add this because I am a wrestling fan. Like, so a big wrestling fan. I haven't been watching as much the last 10 years, but I will say that the industry as a whole, wrestling is starting to. Is kind of having like a second win, especially with AEW and WWE. I will say, even though it's predetermined, right? I'll break it down like this. Even though they choose a guy to be the champion, the fans won't necessarily gravitate towards that person. So that person has to pull the fans in. So even though they say Johnny Buckets is going to be the next champion, the fans might not
is
care
that a real
about
guy?
The fans might not care about him.
I did.
So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it really, you can't, even though it's scripted, you can't even call it like that because you don't know if a fan's going to like a good guy or a bad guy. It's always up to the individual wrestler, how their personality comes out, like, is what draws people in. Especially,
I think I just figured something out.
Who's that?
I just figured it out. This guy's going to pull the triple logo man.
Well, yeah, because his name is Braun Breaker.
He's going to pull the triple logo, man.
Is this a wrestler we don't know about?
It's a rookie auto in this year's Prism.
I got it.
He's a tag team partner with Johnny Buckets.
So that way, like, when you guys are like, you know, you're like,
Braun Breaker.
You know, like, the writers know what's going to happen, so they could be, like, insider trade and stuff. It's like, no, not really, because they can choose a guy that they want to become champion and popular, but it won't always happen that way.
To C-Rat's point, yeah, like, when Roman Reigns, when they were first, like, trying to lift him up to be like, oh, he's the next face, the fans kind of were like, nah, we don't want this guy. He's kind of boring. And they did so they decided to go full heel turn on him for a little bit. Like, it's come back around.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan came out of nowhere. I don't think they were prepared for that. So they will, like, it is always, yes, it's scripted, but it's like they will make changes. Like, the fans always will dictate. Like, they will let you know, like, no, we don't accept this story change, we don't accept the storyline,
we don't accept this character.
Exactly. So it's not, that's not gonna be the guy. So it's,
so
it is,
what,
still,
I mean, I don't watch it. What do the fans want? What makes fans gravitate towards a certain wrestler?
It just depends.
It's really hard to answer that question because, like, people's
tastes change.
That's what
I have hard questions.
Because, like I said, it starts with kids who actually do believe it's real until they, you know, they get a little bit older, teenage years, and they're like, okay, this is not real, but I'm still a fan of it. Like, this is what I grew up on. It's like growing up on anything. You're going to be a fan of it for life, right? So,
and I mean, to give it credit, I still don't think it's worth the price that it's out at retail wise. Is there? We're entering that nostalgia period where our generation, who grew up in the old WWE with Ted DiBiase and Andre the Giant and Hulk and all that stuff, we're now 30 to 40, and we're remembering those guys. And I think that plays into this Prism thing. It just doesn't make sense that there's been other cards these last couple of years, and now this one is 10x.
And above I think that is key. I don't know if this product would have the same hype, for lack of a better term, going into it if you didn't have the legend wrestlers on the checklist. Like, what if it was just, if you're a current WWE wrestler, you're going to be in the product, but if you're not currently on the roster, you're not in the product. you'd agree with that, right?
It wouldn't be as
it wouldn't be like you have the nostalgic that from you know people who are 30, 40, 50 who have been watching wrestling through the 80s, 90s, 2000s that are seeing a lot of the wrestlers that they were familiar with growing up that they want to collect.
Yeah.
Right?
But I think what also lifts it is the fact that I think we are not quite like the popularity in the height of like the Attitude Era, but like I think there is right now because like you said, C-Rat, like AEW has kind of lit a fire under WWE of like we have to up our game. And I think right now is as good a time to be a wrestling fan as ever
now. It's getting to the point where it's like the WCW versus WWF again.
Well, it's crazy. But before we end this segment, boxes are retailing 12 packs. You get two autographs. Boxes are retailing at $950 to $1,000. In your opinion, and we'll do a roundtable here, is it worth the price?
No.
See, Red.
I haven't opened it yet to know.
I haven't opened it either.
Hey, I don't have to open it. $1,000. $1,000. It's a lot of money.
Over almost $100 a pack.
Yeah, that is far too much.
And I know these sales.
And I would even say, I mean, the closest thing we can compare it to would like be UFC, and I would think UFC I think is overvalued as well.
But at least there's guys that are fighting.
I get that, but I think that category is also overvalued.
Cody,
UFC is popular, but it's not nearly as I think wide ranging popularity. Both like and also just like a diverse demographic where like even like I think part of the big popularity boost in WWE is that women's wrestling is like just as big as men's wrestling now.
Yeah,
so I think that's
women's
a big
wrestling
thing.
Is huge now.
How much is like a I guess comparison prison basketball and prison football. What's a box of that go?
2,000, 3,000.
Right. Can you pull a John Cena auto? John Cena probably more popular than any person in any set of Prism basketball or football, maybe other than like LeBron James. You can't do that. Dwayne Johnson, maybe the biggest star on the planet. You can pull the first cards, some of the first Prism cards and low number cards that are going to clearly are going for a lot. Is it a little crazy? Sure, a little bit. But I think there are legitimately massive stars in here that you cannot pull in any other product. So I think that's to me what it has going for it and why I think justifiable might not be the right word I used for the price, but I get it. I get why people want it and I get why it's in demand.
I'm not changing my answer, but I do like the connection of the father and son or the mother and daughter being able to participate in it at the same time. I do like that aspect of it.
I think
like you said, WWE and WWF, when it used to be that, kind of did have the parent. And I seen a lot of pictures of people that went to WrestleMania that had their kids with them.
Okay, cool. So, you have $1,000 to spend in a hobby shop. Are you buying?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay.
No.
Well, there we go.
I'm trying to counterpoint.
There we go.
Justify.
All, I mean, if we're talking value, and you know, we see and rip a lot of product, and I'm not saying the product doesn't have its place and is not valuable. I think that out of the gate, before we even opened up a pack and it saw the light of day, it was already trending near $1,000. That's what I'm saying. I mean, after being out for 2-3 weeks, we see what the singles do. Then we can kind of go, okay, this is what the product should be. And if it's $1,000, $1,000. But I think it being at $1,000 before the product even hits. I mean, it was at $1,000. It's been at that price. Yeah. I think it was at $800 for like 2-3 months ago.
Out the gate, yeah.
So
much.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying it like it's not a great product. I'm not saying that there's not value in it. I'm saying that before it sees the light of day, it's already at $1,000. It seems
ridiculous. That's why I said I have to open it, because like, you know, I got to see what's coming out of it to judge the true value of it, right? And I agree. I do feel like it's too high compared, especially to what the top products are going for or were going for when they still were coming out a couple months ago. So I gotta see. We gotta see the secondary market.
To put it in perspective, and this is kind of like the industry that we're in right now. If this product came out 4 years ago, we wouldn't even have ordered it.
No. We wouldn't have.
We wouldn't even have ordered it. We would have been like, nah, not really our.
Well, we didn't have a shop then.
But
we had a shop, but not like the shop we have now.
But we would have looked at it and been like, okay, because we always fall back on like regardless if we can move it to the shop or not, if it doesn't move to the shop, can we move it through breaks? And we would have looked at it and said, well, we haven't really cultivated the wrestling market for breaks, so we would have probably passed on it. And granted, if we would have asked for 20, 30, 40, 50 cases of it back then, we would have got all of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's all I'm saying. Like, what has truly changed in like 3-4 years to determine a box going for $1,000 and not getting any of the allocation? Or getting all your allocation. Exactly.
Well, and we want to hear your guys' thoughts below. I want to hear the arguments for it, and I want to hear the arguments against it. And that helps us all as a community to determine, you know, maybe, hey, maybe we're missing something. Maybe there's a rookie in there that we're not seeing. I just seen that Braun Breaker, somebody's asking $15,000 for that number to 99 auto. I don't know. Maybe that person doesn't even know. So I want to know. I want to know what you guys think. We are breaking it by the pack at mojobreak.com. So you can buy a pack and get the entire contents of that. 12 packs in a box. We wait till it fills, and then we do it. Cody will have a few for personals, and we do have, I think, we have some in the shop.
We
didn't get much.
It is there. By the time everybody sees this, we'll have some more up on the
awesome. Well, the shop. Some chess moves are being made in this hobby. It's no secret that Fanatics took back the WWE license, as we just talked about in the Prism talk that we talked about, WWE Prism. And now as of today, which is April 6th, happy birthday to my wife, they are grabbing the UEFA soccer license as of 2024. So there is some serious chess moves being made from the Fanatics camp towards Panini to start tearing them apart as far as what licenses they already hold. It's gotta be, you know, kind of scary to Panini, who holds the NFL license currently, but that will expire. They also hold the NBA license, which will expire. And I mean, World Cup stickers, that's gotta be under the radar too. Big news, guys. What do you think?
Interesting to see what the play is. I mean, we've kind of we were sitting here talking about, like, WWE, I think a couple weeks ago when Topps reacquired that, we're like, that was a big move, because that was one of Panini's, that was probably their biggest acquisition they've made since maybe UFC. Mm-hmm. UFC was a big one. And that was right around the time when, like, Fanatics was coming in, playing big, like, picking up, like, all the license, all the major sport license. And to see them come in and get that soccer, everybody kind of was like, well, they got WWE and they got the soccer license. Soccer, with like the World Cup coming around and all that, like, soccer usually gets a substantial boost around this time. I think it's a huge play. And man, I mean, what do we have with Panini? Like, right, we have the collegiate license, which I think they're going to ramp that up. I think they're going to make that
That may be the only thing they have.
And then you have the World Cup, which I don't know how is, like, the World Cup and obviously the UEFA, two different license.
Seems
but
like.
But I don't know how much you can produce of the World Cup. Can you only produce it the year of the World Cup?
Yeah, and then, I'm not sure. I think so. Yeah.
And is that a license that could be expiring after this
World
Cup?
You won't know what players are on that team until then anyway. Exactly. So you can't even make it.
Exactly.
Ahead of time.
And you actually, I mean, I think they're doing the qualifying right now, so you don't even really know exactly which countries. I think actually it just ended. I think US just qualified. I think it just ended. So now you could start producing. You know, essentially, at least the countries and probably for the most part the rosters, because those rosters were on the qualifying teams.
Sure.
But you don't have all of Europe. I think the UEFA, I mean, you get to use like all of the European teams.
And so, Cody, what's the terms of this deal? What does this stuff say?
So basically, Topps is taking over the UEFA Euro license in 2024. They will provide, this comes from Sports Collectors Daily, also saw this backed up on ESPN and other pretty reputable sources, providing exclusive stickers, trading cards, and collectibles connected to UEFA Euro 2024 in Germany, as well as the 2028 Men's Euro, the 2025 Women's Euros, and the Nation League Finals. It should be mentioned, just to really drive the point home, that this is pretty pretty big deal. Panini has had the soccer, the sticker license, really is the most iconic thing in Europe since 1977.
That's what I was just
going to say. Yeah, and so the stickers is
a substantial moneymaker for them.
It's the nail in the coffin for Panini, because Panini is, before any of us knew them for any type of sports cards or anything like that, they've been for decades a sticker soccer company. That's where they made their, that's what they built their company off of.
Yep.
So Fanatics came in and just took them out back.
Well, I think it says a lot. Yeah, it says a lot that the big push was Jose Mourinho was basically saying, I'm putting together this sticker book. Like, they were really going hard on the sticker book. The news, from what I'm gathering in Europe, is like, this is a massive, massive deal. Like, it almost feels like this is the European version of Fanatics getting the MLB license, where it's like, whoa, like Tops in baseball is like, you know, is a connection, is a partnership that you thought would never ever stop and never ever end. This, again, the Panini sells World Cup, so there's still that, but it has that same vibe right now, I think, for European collectors.
And you're right, but they exclusively mentioned, they didn't just do trading cards, they mentioned stickers, which I think is bigger things are yet to come, or at least
I was reading something straight from Topps on Twitter. This goes into effect, I believe, 2022, springtime, right now. So I think what this is saying is that it's going to be ready to go for the UEFA Euro, the Euro Cup in 2024, which is like basically second to the World Cup, right?
Well, because they have the Copa too, right?
They have the Copa, and that I think is South America. But when it comes to like the Euro, that is like one of the major, like,
Without looking at it, there may be, because like, you know, if you had guys that played in Bundesliga or the Champions League or whatever, they may still have Euro cards, right? So Panini was still benefiting by having like Jadon Sancho. So there may be a guy, and I don't know offhand because there's so many soccer players. This may cut out some of the players even being on a Panini card. You know what I mean? Unless it's on a World Cup card, maybe. And maybe like I know some guys that their teams, they're really good club wise, but they're not in a country that doesn't make the World Cup.
So I mean,
so then you have a situation where maybe you don't have a Ronaldo card anymore, or you don't have a Messi, because now those licensors are owned by one conglomerate. So
I mean, let's do a quick do another quick roundtable. I mean, if you're at the table and you're at Panini, like what is your move right now? What is Panini's next offensive move as a company?
You know, I'm probably not smart enough to figure that out, but I mean, you want to use the whole table. They're down to 20 chips, and there's a guy over there that has 5, 10, 20 million in chips.
So your next hand's like an all in.
Pretty much, I think. And I love the guys at Panini, and I want them to stick around. I wish there was a way to make this all work out. But you got to think that this is a chess move for other
Panini
licenses.
Panini has a lot of IP that is extremely valuable in this industry,
but we're whittling it away.
Yeah, but the name National Treasures, and right now the brand Flawless, the hottest product that we've been talking about it every single week on this show, that has substantial value to it. Now I know what you're gonna say is that, how much value does it have when you can't make anything using those?
Right.
But it still does have substantial value. But what I mean, if there is an offensive move to be made out there by Panini, what is it? Like, what other license are out there that we're not thinking about that they can possibly get into? And I'm at the same way. I mean, I'm sitting here.
I almost have a feeling, because we also read that
esports. Can esports be a? I know Panini does have a license with esports. Could esports be something that's huge?
I mean, I also feel like esports kind of like, I feel like 4 or 5 years ago, we're like, here it is, the esports moment, and it never actually happened.
I mean, you have the NIL stuff, I guess. You could cultivate that.
NIL and collegiate, again, and you guys mock the racing license, but it's still holding strong. It's there. It's a product that they're going to be able to put out. using the National Treasures brand, using the Immaculate brand, maybe even using the Flawless brand.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, like, I think we also read, didn't you say that the there was another seed investors?
Yeah, yeah, there was
investing into Fanatics Collectibles.
Yeah, there was another round of investing, a $1.5 billion round of investing, the biggest investors being the NFL at $320 million, I believe. And now because of that, the MLB also did, both the players' associations for MLB and the NFL, I want to say NBA as well. National Hockey League is also getting in on that round.
Oh, God.
10% of Fanatics is now owned by sports leagues, owners, and players' associations.
So you gotta think that the NFL is like, well, when are we gonna start seeing a return on our investment with that, right? So, you know,
they will in a substantial amount when or if Fanatics goes public.
Well, yeah,
that is where the money train comes.
But when you cannot
in.
Produce football cards at the moment, you cannot produce basketball cards at
but
the moment.
But nobody else can.
Well, there's one company that can right now.
Right now, but I think you're seeing all these offensive plays by Fanatics to where, I mean, what other, I know we don't want to say it, but at what point do we not have a choice, or Panini does not have a choice to basically be like, what, how much?
Yeah, like that, I literally was just going to say that, because.
How much? But also, at that point, I mean, Fanatics would truly own every aspect of the collectible
except
hobby.
Except hockey.
But you saying, Cody's saying over there that the NHL, and they already have a deal with, like, the apparel for Fanatics.
Merchandising already goes. That's the thing. That's the thing that Fanatics will always have a step up in, even the college stuff as well, because they have merchandising deals already set up with these guys, so right. There's already relationships there with the leagues, so it's an easy, like, hey, look, you already do this business through us, why don't you just throw in the trading cards as well, make it a one-stop shop, life will become easier.
Yeah,
and I get it, these leagues, players associations, they probably look at it and are like, a lot easier to deal with one voice than to deal with multiple voices.
Yeah, 100%. And I almost think, and I have no insider information, this is just my brain wandering, that there has been some kind of like, hey, Panini, we know you hold the license, but can we start making stuff now for football, for basketball? And I don't think those conversations went very well. Because, I mean, why buy the WWE license? I know WrestleMania was going to happen. And then really push the information out to the public if you can't even make the cards. You're actually kind of benefiting your competitor that way by saying we can't make the cards yet, but we're gonna announce it.
Do we think Panini pivots into a digital collectible?
They could do that.
Do you think that
well, we've seen the $100,000 Luca Logo Man sale.
Is that an NFT? Is that an offensive play? Is going just all in on the digital collectible and trying to work out a deal with those licensing? I don't know if that works any different for digital or physical.
It's just sad for, you know, Topps has been, you know, kept in place, and that's great. But, you know, when the Topps news happened, it's just, you have this big Goliath. I mean, you have a Goliath that nobody financially can compete with. And then, like, to add to Cody's point, they already had the relationships. The memorabilia has all funneled through them. You go on Fanatics, you go to NFL Shop, or you're on 49ers.com, and that goes to NFL Shop, which is a Fanatics run, and they distribute that. You buy Nike from there. You buy Reebok. They're all running through Fanatics. So, like, they already have a huge portion of sales for fans. And so that's just, you know, the card companies could not compete with that amount of revenue that was already being generated from them. I mean, it's insanity.
But it does, I mean, it gives you an idea of what Fanatics feels this category is going to achieve at some point.
Right.
They would not be throwing all this money and resources into a losing venture. Like, this is going to be a winner for them. We just don't know what it's going to look like, but there's too much money, too many big players involved for it to be a loser. It'll be a winner.
Yeah, and I've said this many times on this show. We don't talk about the bubble bursting anymore. Remember there was a good solid year or 2 years where we're like, the bubble's going to burst.
the bubble's gonna burst. Ohtani, we can't do it next year. There's not gonna be an Ohtani round. You know what? Well, you know, we had Justin Herbert and we got Burrow. It was a good run. It's just bubble's gonna burst.
Yeah, we don't.
Prices actually, can't do that
actually
anymore.
What we haven't heard for a while, but probably besides us, is talking about the poor rookie class for football next year.
Yeah,
we haven't dwelled on it. I remember in 2013 that. Well into 2012, we're like Andrew Luck, RG3, Russell Wilson, like Trent Richardson, like amazing draft class, right? But we were already prepared, like doom and gloom for 2013. Like there is nobody coming out. EJ Manuel, Geno Smith, like they're not going to drive products. And products did tank. They tanked throughout the whole year. There was no product that performed well.
16, 17 basketball.
We haven't talked about that. Yeah. This year at all. I mean, I know we're still well into 2021 products, and there's still a lot of football products. Feel like they just started coming out. We have a lot of 2021 to go through.
And we have the draft coming up at the end of this month.
And we have the draft coming in, so we are definitely going to have some overlapping in football this year with the collegiate stuff for 2022.
Which is going to be good, in my opinion. The overlapping.
Well, we're seeing it in basketball, right? We see it a little bit in basketball.
Yeah,
we just finished the calendar year of Melo.
I feel like any other time in this industry, we would have been like, "Well, football cards next year."
Yeah, you're right. Not
better hope for a good basketball rookie class or somebody to pop from baseball, and we're not talking about it.
Yeah,
because I think the products are going to sell.
And you know, and this is going to be a perfect segue into your guys' segment is. Baseball, we already know, is going to be around with Topps and Fanatics for a long period of time. So,
forever.
So there's definitely maybe that's adding to the boost of baseball. And we'll definitely talk about that in the upcoming segment.
All right, wrapping things up here. Doug had to step out. But if you're listening to this, it's opening day. It's the best day of the year. That's objective. That's 100% true. The best day of the year is baseball's opening day. It's here. We're finally ready for baseball. We could talk about baseball and not talk about anything else, but anything off the field stuff right now. It's all about the games. It's a good time. It's good to be a baseball fan. And this I wanted to talk about this with you guys because I talked to the good folks at Card Ladder, Chris and Josh, and they brought up a point on that interview over at the Mint that I think they were onto something. That since the hobby has had its sort of its post 2020 boom, that basketball cards had its moment, obviously with Zion and Ja and then LaMelo. Football had its moment, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, and you could even say last year with 2021 as well, a huge influx of rookie QBs. Baseball hasn't quite had that moment yet of becoming the prominent sport, the sport everybody in the hobby is talking about. But this feels like the year where it's destined to happen. They were saying this is the year of baseball. And, I mean, I think I was a believer with Wander Franco. But now Bobby Witt Jr., Julio Rodriguez, Spencer Torkelson, Wander Franco, all these names. Plus, there's other guys who have been hobby favorites for a couple of years now. Luis Robert could be having a big breakout year. A lot of guys that we've liked in the hobby for a while. So I'll just pose a question to you guys. Is this the year of baseball cards?
Man, you know, it's funny you say that. I feel like we've had a lot of years of great baseball, like, at least in the hobby, performance. Recently, Ohtani, Soto, Tatis.
Judge. Yeah.
Vlad Jr., Wander this year. Even players like Joe Adell, like he was another one that was a driving force behind a lot of the products. I think we're jumping to this because last year was one of the few years where the baseball category didn't perform. There wasn't a standout rookie.
Mm-hmm.
The prospects were still solid. So the prospect product still did really well. Like last year's Bowman Chrome did well. Last year's Bowman Draft did well.
Yep.
It was the flagship products that kind of suffered with no rookie that was performing at an extremely high level that was driving the products. So I don't think baseball really went anywhere. We're not looking for a resurgence. It's just I think we're preparing for what could be one of the best rookie classes that we've seen in the last like 4 or 5 years, which is scary because I just named off a bunch of players. A
lot of good names.
A lot of players that did really well for value in the hobby. So what do you think? What do you think?
Yeah, I think with the recent news of all those young kids, those prospects getting caught up this year, I think this rookie class is going to be obviously like one of the best in recent memories, right? Now, do I think it's going to be a big like super boom like how basketball and football had its moment these last 2 years? I'm not completely sure about that, because what I would say about baseball out of the three major sports is that baseball is generally pretty consistent.
Yeah.
It's pretty consistent in what we're getting and like how hype people are about it and like the collectors compared to like basketball and football. It really is up and down, some years up and down, right? But baseball is the most consistent, and I could see this year definitely being bigger. It's going to be 1,000% bigger than last year, first of all, but will it be bigger than like the Ohtani year or the Judge year? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. I guess we'll see.
The thing that we saw with basketball is it was strange. Like, you had like all this hype about these rookies, Luka, Zion, LaMelo, those guys. And then it actually trickled down to like veterans. It trickled down to like Steph Curry parallels, LeBron parallels.
Yeah.
At like, I mean, second, third, fourth, fifth year cards that I don't think we're going to see with baseball. Yeah. I think people are going to be chasing these rookies. These rookies are going to be going through the roof, but I don't think it's going to translate to, well, an 8-9 year Mike Trout card is now going to go for a lot more money because everybody's chasing these rookies. You did see that with basketball. I don't think you'll see that with baseball, but I think baseball category is going to perform really well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think baseball is going to do like really well this year with the rookies, the guys that just got caught up. It's gonna make all the flagship non-prospect products like really be sought after, with especially if they perform, right? I mean, that's the other thing you got to think about too, right? They actually do have to perform in the big leagues, right, in order for these products to keep going up and hype for it to stay there all throughout the year.
And their teams need to be decent. Like, that's another concern I have with, like, say Rushman. Say he's hitting 280 and has 15 home runs by the All-Star break. That's a solid rookie season.
But he's playing for last place.
But the team Baltimore is in last Orioles. Place yeah. and not getting any buzz, not going to be shown on ESPN on a regular basis. They're not going to get, like, you know, the Fox Game of the Week or anything like that. It's not going to be the Tigers. They stick pretty true to, like, your rivalries of teams that are doing well. You're getting, like, you're going to get the Red Sox, Yankees. You're going to get the Giants, Dodgers. You're going to get, like, even maybe the Cubs always seem to get, like, some pretty good primetime games as well, based on, you know, their market. But, I think in order to get that substantial buzz, the teams do need to be performing at almost, like, a 500 level. They don't need to be, like, you know, on pace to win 100 games by the All-Star break, but have to be, they can't be in the cellar and people still really, really talking about specific players.
And this is where I think this is the why I think this could be huge, is that you have Julio Rodriguez, who I think they're one. Kyle Lewis, I think, is hurt right now for the Mariners, so he's going to be in that lineup pretty much every day. And that Mariners team has their sights set on the postseason.
I was reading something where they are the projected winners of that division.
Wow, that man! Until the Astros don't win it, I get
what you're saying, but times might be changing.
Times are changing. That's
in
for
the
sure.
AL West.
There's a lot of good young players on that team, and there's that too, that he's playing with like Jared Kelnick. He's playing with Kyle Lewis, who a couple years ago was the rookie of the year, and they're playing with guys who already were players that collectors were coveting over the last few years. So let's just add another guy to that list. Bobby Witt, Kansas City, who knows? A weaker division, maybe. And Detroit, I think, is actually a really interesting team for a guy like Spencer Torkelson and Riley Green. I think they can make some noise. So I think overall, just based on those three guys, I think it's as healthy as it could be in terms of player location and talent and how competitive those teams are going to be.
It does feel like the AL is a little bit more loaded.
Much more loaded.
At least with young and up-and-coming talent. Yeah. Rushman, Torkelson, Witt, Rodriguez, Wander, just to name a few. In the NL, I mean, we're going to be chasing
crickets.
Kiebert Ruiz, Nationals.
Yeah. Although his rookie was in 2021 Topps Chrome, if I'm not mistaken, with the Dodgers.
Okay, yeah. So he did get called up with the Dodgers, and I think he played as soon as he went to the Nationals. I think he pretty much played.
But to that point, like, I think there will be. I mean, this is where I think from the
Joey Bart.
Yeah, yeah. A rookie last year. Where I think there's going to be a lot of guys from last year. Where we think of last year as like, oh, what a Topps Chrome was disappointing.
Yeah, the rookie class could have a resurgence.
Yes,
absolutely,
100%. I think that's where you're really also going to see why it's not just this year's flagship products that are going to benefit. It's all of the 2021 products where I think Joe Adell looked way better in spring training this year. Joey Bart is going to be starting every day. Dylan Carlson is going to be the leadoff hitter for the St. Louis Cardinals. Alec Bohm, I know, is kind of an in-between, but he's going to be starting for a Phillies lineup that looks stacked. So it's not just these 2022 guys, but I think you're going to see like an effect on the on a huge rookie class from last year that probably a lot of guys who weren't ready, that weren't prepared to get into that In a normal year, wouldn't have been in Topps Chrome in 2021. They probably would have been in it this year. It probably would have not just had Wander to start things off. Maybe you would have had a Joey Bart or a Joe Adell to kind of balance things out a little bit, you know? And then I think the other guy to mention, well, I'll just ask you guys, is there a guy, a former sort of hobby favorite, face of the hobby? Because for me, my pick is pretty obvious of a guy that's going to break out, and I've already got him on the slide. It's Luis Robert, we are ready for the year of Lou Bob. Like how last year, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. didn't come out of nowhere, but like I think a lot of people were like, when's it going to happen? And I think now is the year where Luis Robert is this year.
And I've been a fan of this guy, and I've been waiting, and I already was talking about him. Joe Adell. Joe Adell is my guy.
Yeah, I like that.
And I don't have a pick because I'm a fan of Oakland.
Christian Pache.
Whoever you were going to pick from Oakland is no longer on the team.
Yeah, no. They just – I saw that. Yep.
They traded him away. Mm-hmm. Is Austin Beck still there?
Couldn't tell you. Yeah. If you asked me to name five Oakland A's right now.
Oh, man.
There you go.
And that is sad because you are a baseball guy.
Uh-huh.
And a Bay Area guy.
All right,
I probably can't. But I would actually pick you going over on five.
Okay, let's see. Okay, I've got Christian Pache. Say that. We'll say Seth Brown is in Oakland A.
There may be a guy named Seth Brown on the team.
Frankie Montas is starting opening day. Sean Manea no longer with the team. He's on the Padres. Lou Trevino, I want to say. Hey, oh, and Sean Murphy. There you go. So there's five. I did it.
You did it.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. No chance of me naming, because Montas was like my go-to. I know he's starting opening day.
Yep.
Sean Murphy is the catcher.
He's the catcher.
Okay. So they got a catcher. First base. There has to be somebody out there playing first base.
I think it's going to actually be Seth Brown. Okay. I could be wrong. I really don't know.
They got a, like, Mike Gallego?
Mike Gallego.
Mike Gallego, is he there?
Oh, I'm sorry, Sierra. It's not fun.
Semien, they let go.
Yeah, Semien's been gone.
Nick Nick. Nick the A.
Nick. You know, Nick.
Nick.
My friend Nick. He's on the Oakland A's. He tried out the other day and made the roster.
My bro Nick on the A's. The kid he was in, he looks super young. He's on the team. His name's Nick.
Man, I think we just found a new segment. Name an Oakland Athletic.
The state of Oakland sports is very sad.
I got a guy named.
Yeah, pretty rough.
Outfield. They got to, I mean, got to have an out.
Got to have a outfielder.
Got to have an outfielder.
You usually need three.
This team can't be. They're
not real.
They're not.
How is this happening? So
bad.
Boy. Okay. Before we pile on this team too much longer, I do want to mention, I think the team that, if we're going to cap this off as the year of baseball cards, if it's really going to be the year of baseball cards, obviously Wander needs to hit. Bobby, one of the two of the big three that just got called up, plus you got Riley Green as well waiting in the wings. I think they need to hit. And I also think as a team, I think the Angels need to get to the playoffs if this is truly going to be the year of baseball. Trout coming back, Shohei obviously, Joe Adell. There's just if that team made the playoffs, the net benefit for this hobby would be massive.
But on paper, they should.
They should.
They should on paper. But now, I mean, it kind of looks like the Mariners have leapfrogged the Angels.
I'll still believe it when I see it with the M's. I just, if there's any team more cursed than that Angels team, it is the Seattle Mariners. Did we find another?
Paul Blackburn.
Okay, sure. I'll take your word for it.
He's Brett Honeywell, former Ray.
Oh yes, pitcher. Of course.
What about your Nick?
Where's Nick?
I'm AJ Puck.
There's nobody named Nick.
Oh
team.
Yeah, AJ Puck. AJ I'm, Puck I, is still there.
No.
Yeah.
There's a Nick, dude.
All right.
There is no Nick.
Well.
All right. That is it for today's show, guys. Thanks again for listening. We really appreciate you guys that have been following us and listening to our audio versions of these podcasts, either on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you're listening to your podcast. Really means a lot to us to be at like the Mint and you guys coming up to us and saying how much you love the show and how you listen to the show all the time. That is the reason we've done this. I mean, for a lot of you guys that haven't tuned in and only been tuning in for last year, we've been doing this for 10 years. So there's a lot of archived audio clips. So but we do have a video version of the show and content on Mojo Break Media, so make sure you hit subscribe there and keep checking back for new episodes of The Hype. Peace.